Privacy Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. Can you actually hear me? is that a no?
No, it's... Yes.
May the Force be with you, right? May the Force be with you. Sorry, guys. I'm a big Star Wars nerd. Wearing a Star Wars shirt. Gotta bring the helmet out. I will take it off, but... Gotta do it.
Anyway, it's also hot as hell, so cannot wear that for much longer.
As if we weren't nerdy enough talking about fantasy baseball. You gotta bring Star Wars into it.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond.
I am your co-host.
I don't know what's worse. Anyway, at our face at sixpack.net. With me as usual, co-host AJ Abogarth. What's going on, man?
What's up?
And our third co-host, helping us out for baseball. If you need to take a minute, man, that's cool. I see what's going on there. No big deal. It happened.
Look, I got to be honest with you about one thing, though. You didn't have to introduce me this time and, like, call me into it. So I'm really excited about
that. I just was like, you know what? There's no point. You've been around for the last, like, 5 weeks.
Again.
You're on the thumbnail. There is 100% DAP included here. This is fantastic.
Thanks.
So anyway, so tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about some really underachieving players. Some of these guys, you know, they're all drafted within the top 100 or very close to it in a lot of leagues. Just super underperforming. Is it time to break up with these guys? Is really the question here. And so we're going to get into that. Some Bryce Harper talk about some of these prospects that have come up that, you know, some good, some bad, some of these demotions. Most of them prospects as well. A little bit of Yankees talk. And then finish off with that favorite subject, and that is saves and holds league. So before we jump into all that, though, want to remind everybody to hit that subscribe button. It's somewhere down there. AJ can probably point to it better than me. He's at the bottom of the screen. But the subscribe button, follow button. Nope, wrong way. No, yeah, takes a minute. Nope, other way.
I don't know where you want. What am I pointing at?
The subscribe button. It's like literally right down there. Anyway,
get
that thumbs up. Leave those comments. We appreciate it. Wherever you watch and listen, and then our subscriptions, our memberships are still open on Fantasy Six Pack. They will be all year. All of the sports are part of the package now. Right now, baseball is obviously leading the way, but as we know, football's coming in hot. We're going to be dropping our draft cheat sheet here hopefully soon, putting the final touches on it. And then, you know, we're going to be dropping a whole lot of content there. We're already doing all the DFS and baseball coverage there for all of that. For baseball, I mean. And so all the football stuff's going to be coming in soon. The biggest thing is, you know, you get to talk to the three of us and then some on Discord and get your custom league advice. And, you know, I mean, Dap, I mean, we've helped out a lot of people, I feel like, over there on Discord. You know, there's not a ton of people over there right now, but as far as the members, for some reason, we have a lot of members, but they're not signing up. They're actually not going to Discord. I'm like, that's right. The most valuable piece. Like, just do it.
But, and not only that, I mean, hey, look, not only that, right? The fact that, again, they come and they ask for, get the specific questions, specific answers, right? We tailor it versus like, who do you think is a good, you know, next good hitter? And another great thing, too, is, you know, they get to have some access to some kind of the deeper dives with our free agent finds, our fab finds that we do every week. And we've been hitting them pretty well lately. We've actually, yeah, absolutely. I think our last three top hitter picks, I think, hit a home run the next day. I'm not going to say we can continue that streak, but definitely something.
We're like the Dave Eddy DFS pick of the day. They're like just hitting home runs every day. It's pretty fantastic. Right. So, it's fun, and we enjoy. We really do. I do, at least. I enjoy talking to everybody over there, answering the questions. Look, I was actually just on a show that's going to get released later this week with Bob Long, you know, kind of promoting the Fantasy Football Expo that we will be attending, and we'll have a booth in August. And one of the things we said at the end of the show was how much satisfaction we get when we help people, right? I mean, that's ultimately why I got into it. I like teaching people, you know, kind of teaching people how to play, teaching people how to look for certain things to improve their own game. So, you know, look, at the end of the day, maybe they won't need us after a while, and so be it. But, you know, hopefully they just enjoy talking to us and they stick around. But, you know, that is so fun to just have, like, the gratification of somebody going, like, holy crap, like, you really helped us, you know, like, you really helped me. And, you know, I got this far. I've never been this far before. Like, we've gotten a few of those comments already. And you know, we're pretty new to the membership stuff, so that's pretty cool. But, all right.
Well, just real quick, can I tell you, I don't know how to put this. You had a show last week and I wasn't on it because it was about football. And I was like, why am I not going to be on the show just because I suck at football? And you're like, because you suck at football. And then I was like, but, you know, we could talk about baseball. And you're like, no, because football makes us more money on the site. So that hurt me. That hurt me deep. And I just want to let you know, it took a lot of work.
You're making up stuff, man.
A lot of therapy, man. But I'm back.
I have told you to come to the expo. I'm like, you play? Come to the expo. Have fun with us, man. It's a good time.
Talk at football.
All right, let's do our beer of the week.
All right.
Beer.
Dap, do your promo. I just love hearing what you can say every week. Oh, we might have lost him. He was breaking up a little bit there, so we might have lost him. All right, AJ.
Fine. Turn, I'll step in. Oh, yeah. Wearing my new Slug It and Chug It Baltimore Orioles shirt with the funnel. I don't know if you noticed that or not. You're too busy with your Darth Vader forthing of withing you. Whatever.
I'm just gonna wear it more if you keep making fun of it. It's like
I don't care.
It's like my daughter. She like hates it. Yep. And so I do it more just because you say you don't like it.
Weird. It's weird. I didn't say I didn't like it. I just think that you're a nerd. But keeping with
I never said I wasn't.
theme here, I'm going with the Checker Spot Brewing Co.'s Stoop Sesh. This is actually the last one that I've had or have still from when we did the live show down there at your place and went to Brewbelly. So,
oh, nice.
I've been waiting on this one. I was like, I got to drink it. I got to drink it on the show. I got a chance.
Good stuff. All right, Depp, you got you back? Yeah. You good to go?
Yeah. Sorry, I have I think I have like 300 tabs open for the show. And so I think the thing was just like, no. But Tito's Vodka, because I live in Austin, I want to keep Austin proud with Tito's. Please sponsor us. Please sponsor us. Tito's.
Good luck.
Also, before you go, Joe, I do have this that I'm sure you saw at the Disney World that you just went to.
Sorry, I have like split screen, so the screen's really small there, but now I can see it. What was it again?
Was that a pagan symbol?
Stop being a douche.
Oh.
It's no, I don't know which way it goes because I'm not that much of a
Yeah,
douche.
I don't actually know what half of that means either, but it's the coasters or that bar that they have in the...
Yeah, the Tatooine bar.
In the Tatooine bar, yeah. Well, yeah, it's called something else, but yeah, it's... supposed to mimic that, but no, that's pretty cool. We did visit that.
Yeah.
It's like the most expensive bar
ever. You have your like 45 minute window of
yeah. Being we went there. We drank one beer or one drink. It took us like 10 minutes, and I was like, I don't really want to get any more because they were like $20. I'm out.
Just
thanks,
20.
Thanks, Disney. So I have a new one, and this is the most fun cover, and we're all going to probably laugh at this. It is from Pariah Brewing Company. I don't know. Only 90 kids will get this IPA. And so the front of it's like a bunch of like, you know, doodles and stuff on the front. And then the back's the best part. Pickles? It's a composition book on the back.
Oh, no.
This is fantastic. And it's like on the front, it's hard to see, but it's like peace signs and like glasses and skateboards and Furbies and
sign on it.
And like there's Ninja Turtles and a Game Boy.
Oh, it's a
wow. Rollerblades. Wow. This thing is fancy. Super Soakers, like peace signs, yin yangs, the little, you know, the, like the little S's.
Stussy, that's what
I'm talking about. Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
No, well, no, there's a whole, there's actually a great article about what
this.
Yeah.
This thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody just drew them just because it could. I saw this and I was like, I don't even know if it's good, but I'm just going to get it.
And draw three more lines and then I'm going to connect.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know if it's good, but I'm just going to get it. It's pretty awesome.
That's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. There's a pager. That's awesome.
Yes.
And it actually spells out hello.
I did have a pager.
I did too. All right, so let's get going here, guys. So we're gonna start with some players to drop potentially. We'll see if we really want to break up with these guys. And I'm gonna bounce back and forth here on the list because you both have one, and we're gonna start here, Dap, with the top one on your list, and it's Eloy Jimenez. His ADP you've got here listed at 71, and let's just say he is not living up to those standards. Fantasy Pros Player Ranker has him at hitter 196, so no bueno. What are we doing with this guy?
So I mean he's heating up of late, right? I mean, his last seven games, it's ridiculous. Video game numbers, right? He's two home runs, 500 OBP, and 690 slugging, which is what you want from Eloy. But frankly, it's been painfully slow. I mean, 258. And the thing is, we're just waiting for him to get injured. I mean, it's
injured for like a brief period of time.
Right.
Thankfully, but I mean, you're an IL stint.
Right. Yeah. We're waiting for the big injury that always happens with Eloy. Yeah. And you're just hoping that he has enough production to kind of offset it, right? It's kind of like with the Jacob deGroms of the world where, I mean, look, I wish Eloy would get to the deGrom level, but frankly, other than the last seven games, which is what you expect from Eloy, whole White Sox offense is just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I've already tried to price check Eloy. The people that, you know, I was trying to sell him to were trying to give me middle tier, if best, maybe two mid-tier guys. And that's just not, I mean, I'd rather, you know, bet that he's going to come back around. So I was really close to cutting him before this past week. If he hits another dry spell, especially if the Sox keep just being terrible, all because of Tommy La Russa, right? It's all because of La Russa. you know, they keep being terrible. I just don't know how you keep him on my team with so many other outfield options out there. And the other key thing here, he doesn't steal bases, right? He doesn't steal. So you're not giving me much with your bat, and you're not going to give me any speed, not even one stolen base in this new environment. I just don't know how you can afford another
Vogelbach. Jeez. I had to bring it up just because it's a commercial that still cracks me up.
Right.
Like, as Buck Showalter, I just went in the corner like, he's not going to steal. Oh, he's going to go. Oh, my gosh. This
is so hilarious. Is that the go sign? Is that the go sign? But, yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if you could trade him for what he needs to be, but if you're going to cut him, yeah, obviously trade him and see if you can get something for him. But I would definitely have him on my next kind of cut list if I can get somebody good. Like, if I can get a – you know, we're going to be talking about Miller here in a little bit, you know, the recent call up. If I'm getting a Miller and, you know, Jimenez is the person I got to cut to bolster my pitching staff, he's probably going to be the first person I cut.
Yeah, it's hard for me because I looked at your list when I went in here earlier and typed my names in. And I mean, really, I just typed names of people that I had because they've just been destroying me and I'm miserably angry at myself for having them still. But you know, some of the leagues that I have them in, I'm very torn about cutting them because I feel like people will go and grab them, so I almost want to try to like wait to see if they do turn it around and then you know, try to dangle them in a trade. So the first guy I have here is Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, he's just got such putrid stats right now over and really over the last couple weeks he's been even worse. He kind of started off okay, but I mean, he's a guy that you were taking ADP 68.
His VBR, the value based ranking that's on Fantasy Pros, by the way, 143 for hitter. So yeah, not good either. No. So good pick there.
I was amazed because I was looking before I got the ADPs from the link you put out. I ended up, I was looking at him in one of my leagues. I think it was the lone ESPN league. So they rank, even though it's just outfielders in our league, it's still center field, right field, left field.
Oh,
as far as the ranking of the position. So there's multiple outfielders that are number one, number two, number three. I'm like, how the hell is this guy 33? He's batting 214. This is not correct. This has got to be screwed up. And then I figured that out, and I was like, yeah, that makes more sense. So 99. We'll say he's around 99. But it was just ridiculous with him. And the same thing happened last year, though, and it burned me because I ended up cutting bait early.
Right.
And then it screwed me because he turned it around and had a, you know, really solid season the rest of the way. And of course, the guy who won our championship in that league ended up picking him up, and I work with him, so he got to rub it in my face often, or thank me. You know, it was a little bit of both. But
well, and that was something I was going to bring up. Like, I feel like we've seen slow Aprils from very, very talented players before. Somebody that comes to mind recently is Paul Goldschmidt. He's had horrendous Aprils, and I think his is slightly better this year, but it's still not great for him.
He's doing pretty well this year.
But it's still, you know, like, I feel like with these superstar players like this, that we know what their absolute ceiling is, it is hard to cut bait. Right. Now, there is a guy that's next on your list that I'm not sure it's – I don't think I can – even me, I'm going, I don't think I can hang with him anymore. There's just too many other players. And it's Jose Abreu, Dab.
Right.
Like, this one just looks bad everywhere. We're talking an ADP of, you've got him listed a little higher, but on NFBC, it was around 87 for the last month of March. I only did the month of March, so kind of when everything sort of settled, we knew prospects and stuff like that, injuries kind of hit. You had the ADP a little higher from a consensus viewpoint. I think you used whatever was on Fantasy Pros. But their VBR ranking of him, 331. He's like one of the worst hitters in baseball right now.
Right.
It is not good.
So you actually, what you said a little earlier was kind of going to be my whole morale of this segment, right? I was
sorry.
On. People sorry like, no. You did great because, I mean, it was going to be about, you know, let's be patient. But Jose Abreu, I'm not being patient. There's something definitely wrong, whether, you know, he has now officially gotten old and his body knows about it now. But, I mean, one of the best stats that you have is the last time Jose Abreu hit a home run, it was September 13th, 2022. That's not going to fly in Houston. They have too good of a farm system. They have too good of, you know, of the ability to trade for them to wait. The thing is he came with such fanfare to Houston with that, you know, with the ability to, you know, hit out of that park and having the short porch and having all these different aspects of it, right? You know, the analysis was glowing. He was going to find a way to just be in this great Masters lineup. And he's been awful.
And they always hit for average. His OBP was always good. It's just everything is freaking terrible for him right now.
And I mean, his strikeouts are high. I mean, his OBP is 268 right now. I mean, that's just ridiculously low. But the key here is his slugging is 264. It's lower than his OBP. Oh,
his OBP.
That's just
I don't
nuts.
Know how many times I've seen that. Not very many. Let's put it that way.
Well, especially
not something I go study, but it's definitely not. That's not good.
Right. He might be platooned. I mean, at some point, right? Or even worse, he might just be like, you know, the bench thing. I mean, he's making too much money to do that. They're gonna hopefully, you know, have some patience with him. But that is somebody who I absolutely positively would drop. Not a problem. The other people that we talked about, right? You know, Teoscar. As soon as you drop him, I will pick him up. Right?
Yeah, like, no kidding. There's so many worse on my team. I guarantee it. Right.
Eloy, same thing. If you drop him, I'm picking him up. Although, you know, getting the stolen bases kind of sucks there, but
yeah, but hopefully you can draft. Hopefully you've drafted around knowing that, you know, Eloy was not a guy that you drafted for steals. I think you're hoping that, you know, with this thing does not want to stay down.
That's what she said.
But you know, you're knowing you're not going to get steals from it, but you know, with the new rules, I think you're hoping at least one at this point. I mean, we've got some guys that have steals that you're not usually expecting to have steals at this point. Right. Oh, did I just totally screw up?
No.
There we go. I just knocked the headphone out and it sounded all scratchy for me.
Do you need a minute?
I don't. I think I got it.
Mike, just cut his video.
Shut up. commercial break. No, but like really though, the whole Houston offense isn't really performing up to par. And I mean, their team WRC plus is 91, so it's below average offense right now in the whole major league out of all the major leagues. And so, you know, and we're seeing, you know, we've already talked about the White Sox, and you were talking about how kind of bad they are. They're at 87. Sure. I mean, so like, it's not shocking to see some of these guys on these, you know, from these teams on this list already.
But it's a different thing if it's a continuation from last year.
Oh yes,
and that's where Abreu is different. It's going to be different from all the other people on my list, right? They're having the slow starts. Their teams are awful, but I definitely am going to have patience for them. You know, they're on my list of I'm going to watch you, right? You're on my detention list. But Abreu is, I mean, I've cut him already in two of my leagues, you know, 10 teamers, but I've cut him because he's just not what I need.
Starting to get to that point. I mean, second half of last year, he only hit 4 home runs.
Right.
That's tough. Yeah. That's not good.
This was somebody I was targeting because, he's clearly on the downslope of his career, but he was still productive as a first baseman, you know, eligible player. And being able to, you know, miss out on the Goldschmidt, the Freeman, you know, the
Vlads. The Met.
Yeah, the Vlads, right. The Pete Alonso.
Pete Alonso's, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, fine. You know, I'll jump in and I'll go after Abreu. Or even if I had one of the other guys, I could plug him in as a corner infield position. And I had him in both of my Fantrax leagues. And God, he's been so bad. And it's like, oh, you're going to Houston? Oh, what's that? Yuli's not there anymore? You're taking over from him? Oh, okay. I mean, this is a great offense. They just fucking beat my Phillies in the World Series. So good for them, cheaters. So, yeah, great. I like this. I'm going to go and get him. But, God, has he sucked. And yeah. I don't know if he will turn it around. I think it's just like, boom, you're now officially old, and you're going to get benched. So
you've got a guy here next, AJ, and I'll be honest, I'm not sure I totally agree with it. I think he's slumping right now. I will admit with that. But he started off pretty well. Andrés Giménez of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Second base, obviously not a fantastic position. But his ADP was around 76. His ranking on Fantasy Pros right now for hitters is 96. So, you know, when you add in pitchers mixed in with that, obviously, you know, that is probably more in like the 130s, 140s as far as rankings there. So not good, but also I don't know if I'm ready to cut bait with him.
Yeah.
But so, you seem to differ.
I mean, I'm not cutting bait with him yet, but he was on my list of people.
He's on your shit list.
that were annoying me. And, you know, so the leagues I have him in are points leagues. And, you know, again, I waited on second base because I was focusing on other positions and, you know, filling out my roster that way, knowing he'd be able to get me some steals, you know, decent average, you know, OBP. Okay, fine. That doesn't really matter much for points other than, well, if he's hitting the ball, he's at least getting on base.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting me points. So, again, I'm not like, I'm not firing him yet, but he's getting a sit down, you know, preemptive review of where he's at right now.
But I mean, I'll say this:
it's hard because he's second base, and it's
well,
just a shallow position.
I mean, I'll say this: I mean, there's been some dudes, right, who have come up that were free agents. Ezekiel Duran, you know, like if you want to play the streaming game, you know, with second base, he's there. You know, Terang started off kind of hot. He's really kind of fallen off the wayside, unfortunately, a little bit. sorry, Depp. That's your boy. But I mean, there's some other guys here that have also really stepped up at the second base position and have performed very well. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, if you want to, I mean, hell, even Brandon Drury, like who he might have been dropped early in some leagues because people drafted him very late, and he has come on like gangbusters this last like week and a half. Man, he has been a crazy fire.
Babe Ruth Drury. Yep.
So there's some guys that are starting to come up that have multiple position eligibility because they were prospects, and it's kind of what happens a lot. So
another one who's been solid. And producing, but he's not necessarily an everyday player. So,
sorry, who was that?
Isaac Paredes. Or
yeah, he's Paredes. I mean, I think he plays enough, but yeah, he does platoon a little bit. But yeah, he does. You know, but again, like if you know, you could do this type of thing where there's a couple platoon second basemen out there. You could probably mix and match it if you want to hold a couple on your team. And you know, I get it. Like even coming into the season with Giménez, like he was one of those guys. Where it was, man, if I miss on all the other second basemen, like he was sort of the stopgap. He was the last one I really wanted. He was safe, wasn't going to like crush it. You know, like he was a good middling power speed guy. You know, felt like he wasn't going to hurt me. He wasn't going to win me anything. But like past that, I was kind of like, I don't really have any interest in a lot of these guys past that. But now he's hurting you. Batting average isn't there. The home power's not there. The steals are still there, which is nice. Right. But nothing. Run RBIs aren't there. Like, I mean, he's got 21 runs, actually. That's pretty solid. But 8 RBI, like, just not.
Yeah.
It's more bad than good at this point. And so, yeah. Well, I mean, I have him in one league, and I picked up Duran for this last few games, and I've actually made the swap. He's just sitting on my bench for a little while, so I get it.
Right. Well, I mean, so there's a couple of key things here, right? I mean, we know that he's not going to lose his job because his defense is amazing. Mm-hmm. He has one of the top defensive run saves in the league, especially for his position. But, you know, the other thing, people were expecting, you know, Giménez going away from Eloy, right, where we weren't expecting steals. But Giménez, we were expecting tons of steals. And yes, you said that, you know, he had 6 steals, but he's had 1 in the last 15 games.
Yeah, he has slowed down a lot.
Right. That's incredibly concerning. But I mean, again, and just thinking about the last 15 games, I mean, we're talking about a sub 180 batting average and a sub 280 on base percentage. That's terrible, especially for again a guy that needs to get on base, and you know, just allow other people to get him knocked around. So, you're right. There is, you know, lots of other choices there. I'm gonna play a quick game with both of you guys here, starting the season or even now. Taylor Walls for Tampa Bay Rays, right? Mm-hmm. Who would you rather have had, Ahmed Rosario or Taylor Walls?
I mean, it would have been Ahmed Rosario. Or Walls?
Yeah.
Or it would have been Rosario to start the year.
All day. And Taylor Walls, on the other hand, is now just insane. Like, he has he's doing 290, and the guy has hit 5 home runs. Mind you, he hit that, I think, the last 2 years together.
Yeah.
And I think he hit 5 home runs all of the, you know, 2022 and 2021 combined. So, I mean, yeah. And again, Taylor Walls in a lot of leagues has 3 eligibilities. So, yeah, that's another great kind of fill-in piece as well. But this season's crazy right now, especially with the fact that I can't rely on a guy who I thought was speed. And, you know, in Jimenez, and it was going to just take off.
You can't rely on any pitching, apparently.
Yes.
Offense is coming out of, like, nowhere. Jorge Mateo is, you know, like, MVP level, 6 home runs and 10 steals right now. Like, what is going on?
Right. And Taylor Walls, you know, I believe he is 6'9", I believe, and 180 pounds. You know,
I love the rest of the season projections for a guy like Taylor Walls right now. It's like he already has 4 and 5, yet they're only going to predict another 6 and 8 for him. How? What? What are you expecting to happen here? He's just going to die? Like,
he's just going to turn into Joey Wendell. I mean, come on.
I mean, of course. Yeah, I mean,
rest of the projections are rough. I don't envy anybody that does those. Not gonna lie.
Well,
I would never do that ever. But let me just put this in perspective with Taylor Walls, right? In 628 at bats in his major league career, he's hitting 14 home runs, and that includes this season. So he's hit 9 home runs before this season. So that's he's just playing completely out of his mind, or he's changed something, or he's got a great new bat. I mean, this is literally video game-esque stuff, considering who he is and who he's been. In almost 1,000 at-bats in the minors, he had 25 home runs. I mean, this outburst is just nuts. So, yeah, ride Taylor Walls all day long as you can, because I don't know where this is coming from right now.
No, I get it. He's probably not going to keep that up, but it is funny that, you know, in a month... Yeah. He's hit 4 home runs and done 5 steals, and then the projections are like just a smidge over that for the rest of the season. And there's like 6 more runs left. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up here, we're going closer. Ryan Presley, ADP of around 70. And I gotta look up what his value is here. It's probably not good for him either. He's near the top of the list. Pitcher 161. So yeah. Again, it was hard for me to. I did this real quick. Couldn't mix in the hitters and pitchers to figure it out as quick as I did this. But yeah, 173 pitcher when he was drafted 86th overall.
Right.
That's no bueno.
There were signs, again, going back, doing the whole Abreu thing, there are signs to Presley having problems, right? Last season, you know, there was definitely, especially that second half, there's a bunch of blowups. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, the Astros locked it down like they showed for the postseason. But Presley had a lot of kind of streaks there where he was not dominating. And that was concerning, considering they signed a lot of big bullpen arms there. They had Abreu, and they have Montero, and they have all those other big arms there that they signed up big deals. So to me, it said that, like, he does not have a long leash, and they're willing to kind of mix and match there as needed. 3 saves? That's not what you're expecting when you were picking him early in that first round. And I think probably one of the top 5 closers off the board.
Yeah, absolutely he was.
Yeah, right.
Now, he was injured, so that also plays into it with Presley. You know, but the production just isn't there yet. I agree with that. So I've been watching him to see if he's going to be rebounding at all, and I'm just not impressed and not going after him right now because he's just not doing it. And the one league that I'm really watching him in, I need relief pitching badly. So right. It's been very hard to be like, but there's another guy who we'll talk about here a little later that I might have to go and snag. Next guy that I have listed here is another position player, and that's Gunnar Henderson. Hurts to say it, being an O's fan and wearing an O's shirt. Again, it's probably not someone I'm dropping yet, but he was like 88 ADP.
I think we talked about this a lot more.
We talked about this
on our third base preview show. Like,
yeah.
I wanted nothing to do with Gunnar Henderson. He screamed Eric Hosmer-ish to me. He really did. He was like, yeah, I get the potential. I get he's had really good success in the minor leagues. But it was like, you knew what it was. It was all the really good third basemen you knew went you know, ahead of him pretty early. Like, there was like five or six in the top three rounds. Then there was like a small gap, and it was Bregman. And then there was another small gap, and it was Gunnar Henderson. And then there was like a much larger gap after that, and it was Max Muncy. And how many people are going, wish I just waited for Max Muncy? but it was like,
yeah.
Henderson was like that, oh no, I don't want that teardrop, you know, that I don't want to drop to that next tier of third baseman where it's like it looks really, really bad. So I'm going to get this guy who really hadn't proved anything in the majors and think that, oh, he's all of a sudden going to be a superstar and he's like the next guy. I was like, I'm not willing to take that risk. And right now I'm looking pretty good. Like, I'm looking really good on that call. You know, there's a lot of baseball to be left to play. And, you know, the Orioles offense is crushing it right now, so he just hasn't helped, unfortunately. Batting 182, it's horrendous. His OBP is really good. Congrats.
Yeah, that's not the league that I own.
About it.
So I don't really care.
Strikeouts at 30%. He's walking a ton. That's about the only thing that's helping his OBP. So
yeah, right. I mean, he's the walks are nice. You know, he still only has one steal. Okay, great. Four RBIs, two home runs.
I mean, his home run to fly ball rate is 11%.
Believe
that's not good
today.
Debbie looked like you got a couple of things to say
today. He did have a nice day.
So Gunnar's hit two home runs, one today and one yesterday. So he's definitely seems like he's hitting up the plate, right? He's 400 OBP in the last seven games.
They are playing like the Royals. He's a rookie. That helps,
yeah. Right? Well, I mean, you know,
sorry, Royals fans.
Yeah, you're supposed to beat up on bad teams, right? And if you don't, then you know, what are you doing? But at the same time, you know, when you draft a rookie, you better expect that they're going to have cold spells, right? And this is definitely one of them, or, you know, kind of figuring things out again. But if anybody drops Gunnar, I'm all
no,
over
they
all
probably won't.
Yeah.
Too much draft capital. And there wasn't enough. Right. I doubt anybody took him and was like, oh, I'm going to take like a backup third baseman, you know, like in a lot of leagues. That just didn't happen.
Right. So. But you could, if you're on out there in a league, if you get Gunnar Henderson in any type of, you know, if I'm able to, you know, just send some like, you know, second or third starter and maybe, you know, throw an outfielder and infielder in there as well, I would do that in a heartbeat because Gunnar Henderson is going to heat up. I firmly believe in his pedigree. Unlike Joe, I'm a believer of the Gunner. And I think this guy's going to just do great things. His home ballpark kind of sucks because of, you know, it's sap power. But yeah, like you said, the Orioles are going to start taking flight here. And I have no doubts that he's going to shoot up here. But yes, his start's been horrendous.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it was just that, like, I knew the pedigree was there. I knew the talent is there. It just, this didn't feel like the year for me. I wanted to like let him get a year under his belt. I don't know why I just felt odd where he was going in drafts. You know, if you can get him for a discount, absolutely I'll take a chance on him. But
yeah,
I don't know if people are doing that. Well, your last player, and then we got to probably speed this up a little bit, Dap, is a guy who was just outside the top 100, so we're cheating a little bit, but it's okay. Christian Walker.
Got him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's that's really what it comes down to. I mean, people were still talking up Christian Walker, you know, this offseason as somebody who, you know, was in the top 10 outfielders. You know, look, outfield was definitely one of those that dropped off quick, but Christian Walker already was somebody who was supposed to be kind of a power speed combo guy, and he's definitely not that, and he's definitely not an elite outfielder in any stretch of imagination. Now, in the last 11 games, of course I say that, right? He's heated up and he's hitting 5 home runs, .372 average, 14 RBIs, which is what we expect from a streaky hitter like Christian Walker. But there is so many other players out there and that you can grab for the outfield that can give you this kind of, if you want streaky.
Was he outfield or is he first base?
In some leagues, he's still outfield in first base. Okay. Sorry, that's where I had him. But yes, you're right. He at first base. I mean, God, we talked about Abreu and Walker. If you have one of those, yikes. Because some people were waiting after the Goldschmidts and even the Abreus, right? They were going to pick up, you know, Christian Walker and put him in there. But yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, it's starting to heat up and he could do that. But I would not, for the life of me, be keeping him on. Like, I would be one of those where I'd pick him up off the waiver wire, keep him while he's hot, and then drop him again. Christian Walker, like your Gunnar Henderson, Christian Walker is not somebody I believe in at all.
All right, fair enough. And AJ, you got two here. Yeah, we're just going to lump them in together here.
Last two.
Ryan Helsley and Logan Gilbert.
Yeah, and again, of those two, Gilbert's one I'm holding on to, but he's kind of getting to that point. I mean, he's only got one win. He's been okay, but based on the draft stock, for me at least, the ADP that we have on here is 112, 113, but I went after him much earlier in the one league I'm looking at here because it's a more pitcher-heavy league. So, and same thing with Helsley. I actually don't own him in that league, but he was supposed to be the guy for, you know, a pretty good St. Louis team. He's just not getting it done, so...
He's been really bad.
I'm definitely fine cutting him and moving on.
Gilbert's strikeouts are at least kind of saving him, but the 4 ERA right now is pretty brutal. But man, we've got some pretty brutal ERAs for some top notch guys. Scherzer, one of them, like just awful. Like I don't know what to do with some of these guys, man. It's been a really strange year for pitching. Baseball needs to stop messing with the ball. That's all I gotta say, man. Just let us be able to predict something for once going forward. Just stop it. All right, so jumping in here, AJ, I think this is gonna be your spot to kind of rant and have some fun here a little bit. Bryce Harper's coming back. Maybe a little too early.
He already is back. He's back.
He
came back on Tuesday.
Yep.
For some reason, I thought it was like next Tuesday, but either way.
60 some. I mean, the date's right there, literally on the sheet, Tuesday, 5-2. That was two days ago.
I'm pretending I'm you this week and not reading anything.
May the 4th is today. May that be with you today, yesterday, 5-3. Okay. That's 8 together. Overall, he started off. Not real hot. Came back first day, went 0-4. Phillies got creamsicled by the Dodgers in game 2 of that matchup in LA. 3 Ks. Okay. All right. You know, first game back, he's a little rusty. Understandable. Then comes yesterday, and he goes 3-for-3 with a double, 2 singles, no strikeouts. So that's a bonus. 2 runs and 2 walks. And he was pissed off after that game. Now, this was a game that Aaron Nola came in and pitched well to start the game. slowly but surely ended up, you know, giving away some runs, and he left the game still with the lead, but then Philly's bullpen choked and gave the game away. Craig Kimbrell giving up a grand slam walk-off to, I believe it was Muncy, Mr. Leader in the third base rankings right now.
Leader in everything right now. This dude's a monster.
But Harper was so pissed. Listening to some of the interview and post game talk and stuff, and he was just like, "Can't happen, cannot happen, this can't happen, and this will not happen again." You know, basically is.
Can it like, happen, hey, AJ?
I don't know. I don't know what exactly.
You said can't happen like four times, so I'm just.
No, but sorry, I'm just making fun of you. That so, in the in
so
the
post-game. It can't happen again. Do you guys get this at all? Ever.
Like,
AJ, not please.
I can't save you.
No, just shut the cameras off and I'll talk by myself so I don't have to listen to this. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's good
just can't
for
happen.
Him to be back. And yeah, I'll just cut myself out then. You know what? Fuck you guys.
Sorry.
Wait, I am, huh?
This is where we need the drop of Cartman from South Park.
Ski again, go to
copyright infringement. I don't believe we should do that.
I mean, like the beer wouldn't be YouTube. Don't listen to AJ.
Anyway,
he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not a lawyer. Not a lawyer.
Anyway. So okay, so
Emma Coxman.
Let me ask you a question. So, what do we, knowing the injury that he's coming back from, what do we expect from Harper the rest of the year? Knowing he came back a lot earlier than I think a lot of people thought.
160 or so days.
This is like the shortest return from this injury I think ever is what I heard from somebody. Yeah. I forget who I heard
very,
from.
Very TO-esque.
Adrian Peterson-esque when he came back years ago after like 8 months on a torn ACL and dominated. But like, do we expect Bryce Harper to be Bryce Harper, or are we just going to get kind of a player kind of the rest of the way?
No, I think we will get the Bryce Harper we know. I mean, again, that just the tone that he was setting in that interview and, you know, the fact that he's pissed off, it's like, hey, assholes, I'm back, and this is what you're going to do? Like, no, not happening on my watch. You know, just the leadership.
The whole offense is sort of meh right now.
They are, and Thompson's been tweaking the lineup way more than he needs to this year, and he just needs to freaking pick something and go. Part of it is, you know, being able to tell Schwarber, hey, we know you start slow, but we're dropping your ass in the order. Like, sorry. Until you start performing, then you can come back up and be leadoff or, you know, be next to leadoff, whatever it is. You know, Turner has been absolute garbage lately, you know, so far, too. So it's, you know, the team's just not
Rimuto's
looking good.
Has not been good. It's been weird.
No. I mean, I'm not overly concerned with it yet, especially the fact that Harper just got back. He's going to be hopefully coming into form here and not, you know, take as long as he did last year when he came back. But you still have the three wild cards. You know, this is exactly what the Phillies did last year. They stumbled in, luckily, to the wild card. That's all you need to do. You just need to make the damn playoffs, and then you can go on a run. So,
yeah,
I don't know if I fully see that happening this year again, but I'm hopeful for it. So,
yeah, I mean, we'll see. Sorry to say, but when Brandon Marsh has been your best offensive player to the season, probably not doing awesome, but. I mean, he's a good player, but yeah, that's not the guy you need to be. That's not the guy you pay to be your best offensive player. I don't know, Dab. You got any quick thoughts before we move on to the next?
No, I don't want to say too much more Philly stuff, but I do want to give you a fun stat. Sure. Bryce Harper returned before the Oakland A's got a win from a starting pitcher. So since Bryce Harper's been gone, the Oakland A's starting pitchers have not gotten a single win. So that tells you just A, how quick Bryce returned. As in like when he left and now that he's back, that span.
Wow, that's incredible.
Does that make you want to break out the Tito's big bottle?
I'm not saying that I don't have an IV of Tito's right now in my veins. Tito's makes Oakland A's suck a little less.
Love it. That's fantastic. All right, so let's move over here to some call-ups that are – you guys wrote these notes a couple of days ago, so that are coming, but that have happened, some of them.
Yep.
You know what? I'm just going to let you guys figure out who you want to talk about here because there's a lot here, and –
It's pretty simple here.
Bad, actually. Gavin Stone got crushed.
Yep.
Brandon Fatt got even more crushed.
Right.
He got Bryce Miller.
And got a fat lip.
Michael Garcia. Yeah. Tanner Bibby.
Yeah.
JJ Blade.
Yeah.
Those guys might be on their way up, but the first couple just got rocked. are back down, I think.
The first thing that hurt me, right, let's just be honest, is Brandon Fatt, because I was so excited. I had so many puns ready to go. Like, you know, that was a fat start. I can't believe how fat he is. You know, P-H-A-T, of course, or P-F-A-A-D-T. But he was awful. Nobody was missing anything. I mean, you know, his CSW, right, which is called strikes or swinging strikes, was only 28%, and he was getting some whiffs on his slider and change, but his they got hammered as well. So it's not like any of his stuff. He, again, going back to our previous show before you cheated on me with football, we had talked about how he had set these amazing strikeout marks at some of the worst hitter-friendly environments. He was just awful. So that's the first one that just blew my mind. I couldn't believe how bad that was, considering, again, you know, in Arizona. But if you still have, if you have him, keep him. I expect that to be an anomaly. And if you pick up a young arm like that, unless you're just trying to do like an injury fill, you typically should wait. And then the other one there, right, Bryce, Gavin Stone. Dodgers have become Cleveland-esque in their ability to kind of bring up these starting pitchers and, you know, have great results. And Gavin Stone was just terrible as well. You know, 4 innings pitched, 8 hits, 4 earned runs. The key here, 1 strikeout. Just 1.
It was rough in the minors this year so far. I mean, the strikeouts were there in the minors, right. But the ERA was pretty bad. He had a couple of good starts right before his call-up.
Right.
He's already been sent back down, so I picked him up and then was like, oh, well, that was fun. Dropped you.
right.
You know, I'm not in a super deep league, so he'll hang around for a little while. Hopefully I can snag him back up later because I do believe in him, but that was not a fun start.
But once you get past, you know, kind of those, and again, Mike Kirlin's awesome regression monster doing yum-yums and people fighting him in the comments saying, that's not regression. And he's like, I really don't care. It's a GIF. That's always funny.
I don't care about your feelings.
But we've seen also people that suck when they get called up, get sent back down. I mean, we've seen this countless times. Look, pitching in the majors is hard. The problem is that we've seen too many of these other prospects get called up and then have instant success, and people think that's the
Taj
case,
Bradley.
Right? Taj Bradley, right?
Logan Allen.
But look at like Bryce Miller, right? Who's having success.
I was just going to say him too.
Right. You know, and so people are like, or Tanner Beebe, right? Again, having success. I mean, not to the Bryce Miller level, but having success. Everybody's like, well, just the next top prospect. It's hard to pitch in the majors. These guys will crush your mistakes. And they will wait. If you have one good pitch, they'll just be like, throw that pitch. I'm not going to swing at it, and I'm going to crush your fastball. If you got an amazing slider that I can't hit, you know, I'm going to just wait until you throw something that I can. And they're going to crush it. So, you know, JJ Blade is a great case for that kind of that waiting, right? He was terrible last year. Mm-hmm. He was terrible at the beginning of this year because he got sent down to the minors, and he's come up, and he's come up pretty strong. You know, he's showing that he's kind of has that ability. Now, do the A's wish they had AJ Puck back? Maybe. Yeah, that probably AJ Puck looks pretty good as the closer for the Marlins. Yeah, but JJ Bleddon did. Oh, Puck did? Or, well, yeah. I mean, he's a closer. They're going to get, they're always going to get lit up. But I would rather have.
I just picked him up.
Well, stop doing that.
Good job, AJ. You put the curse on him.
But yeah, Bleddon, though.
I have the doll now, not you. Not supposed so, but, to.
Yeah, but I gave it to you.
Bleddon, sorry.
It's okay. Bleddon, you know, started off rough, especially again in AAA. That was supposed to be huge. And he now had, you know, more walks than strikeouts right at the end. He's starting to get hot. And so I definitely see this as an ability. It's Oakland. They have nobody to kind of push anybody. I think Bleddon has a chance to really light it up there. So you have Bleddon, you had Beattie, and then Michael Garcia. So going back to Fat, Michael lit up Fat for a home run, and he has been killing it right now. And that's somebody that's not getting the fanfare of these other guys, right? Stone, Fat, fine. You know, Beattie, you probably have heard of. Bleddon had a little bit of fanfare there. Mm-hmm. Michael Garcia, I'll be honest with you, unless you're a deep dynasty guy, like, I mean, I'll know about him, but I'm sure most of our viewers aren't. Go pick him up. The guy's hot. he's out there. He's 3-for-7 since his last call up. And he's showing some impressive power as well. And again, he's the Royals. It's not like he's, you know, he's getting pushed by a lot of players out there. He's going to have some length to his call up here. That's definitely a guy that I would definitely go out and pick up, and he's probably could be had for cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
hit five. On the flip side of this, we've had some of these prospects, or right. They're not even some of the not even prospects. We've seen some guys get demoted that
right.
I think was a little shocking. Some of them not so much. Start off here with Taj Bradley. This one, you know, he came up, had two fantastic starts. They sent him down. It was, I want to say, not yet 10 days ago, so he's not back up. But all reports are saying that he's coming back like almost as soon as possible because they're trying to get him back on a 5-day schedule instead of the 6-day schedule that he was kind of on, which is good. I have him in a league, and I've just held on to him through it because there's no way I'm letting Taj Bradley go. I'll never get him back. And so, you know, I'm always careful with prospect pitchers because you never quite know how many innings you're going to get.
Right.
I think Bradley's one of the safer ones. There's talk that he could get you like 140, 150 innings this year because of how many he's thrown in previous years combined. And so, like, if you look at 2022, he threw for, I can do math here real quick. 133. You easily can bump that up to like 150, right? And that's a good number. 100. You could even go 155, 160. And if the Rays manage that throughout the year, like they set him down just for a little bit, and they're going to let him, you know, pitch in the minors, a little easier workload there. He can come up and, you know, he'll pitch through at least mid-August. And if they're a playoff team, they're gonna figure out how to make him go the whole year. So he's a guy that I'm totally in on the rest of the season. I don't know if you guys disagree or we can just move on to.
No, I mean, look, I mean, the only problem I have, right, 133 innings last year, you could typically be pretty safe about saying about 10% increase in workload, right? So let's say it's, you know, again, going back to say 150, that's fine. My biggest issue is it's the Rays. So they could quickly put Taj as like a closer, which is fine, right? Because we all want saves. But, you know, he suddenly becomes like the power arm because they're trying to, like, you know, figure it out. Like right now, for example, right? They put him in the minors to help him get on the normal rest schedule. The Rays do not care about your fantasy team.
No, of course not.
That's the main thing. Do I want Taj Bradley? Absolutely. He was a little hittable, you know, with a 300 plus average for, you know, batters against him, but his strikeouts are legit. His ability to, you know, not walk batters is legit. I'm just going to be very interested to see how kind of Tampa Bay plays with him, because they do, I mean, Tampa Bay, so they have a ton of arms as well. Yeah. But yes, I would definitely have him on team if I have a spot for him. If I have a deep enough roster him and forget it.
Yeah, I would be fine if they put him out there and let him go five and two thirds every single game. I don't care. That's how you hold back his innings. You're going to get 8 strikeouts every single time he goes out there with that many innings, if not more. Right. It feels like, right? He's just, he dominated. Yes, he is a rookie pitcher. As we just alluded to, he's going to get rocked eventually, right, if not multiple times. It's just inevitable. But yeah, I mean, you know, you talked about the batting average. I get it, but, you know, and his left on base percentage is really high, but that's because he can just strike people out. So he'll allow the occasional single, double, whatever. Right. But because he doesn't walk people, it doesn't snowball like crazy for him, because he'll just strike out the next two batters and be like, who cares? Go to first. Good luck. You know, that's what it feels like with him. And, you know, we got another guy here. Talk of the draft season, Mr. Jordan Walker.
Right.
Everybody wanted this guy, and for good reason. He's an absolute stud. Didn't play bad. Just got outplayed and had nowhere to go. Nolan Gorman was like, wait, you're bringing up who? What about me? Yeah. Nolan Gorman was like, I can play. I'm going to take this DH role. Bye. And so that's what they did. They sent him down to get playing time. Fantasy managers are pissed, but I don't disagree with the move, honestly, for St. Louis.
Look, if you would have told me Nolan Gorman was, I mean, I was clowning Nolan, right? He was up there with Taylor Walls before the season. I wasn't expecting either one of those guys to hit, and Nolan went Jordan Walker-esque.
None of us.
You know, and he's just hitting everything. But the thing is, you know, the reason why St. Louis sent him down, it wasn't to work on his, I mean, yes, to get more reps with his swing, absolutely. But it's because they want him to work on his defense so that he becomes versatile, so they can plug him other places. Mm-hmm. Because Nolan Gorman ran away with kind of that, with his bat, they need Jordan Walker to fill in elsewhere. Hell, and so,
can I cut you off for just a second?
Of course.
I just saw this.
Uh-oh.
Nolan Gorman was removed from Thursdays. That's right today. People that are watching this late.
Oh, no.
Due to lower back tightness. So it could just be nothing. Could just be, you know, regular.
Yeah.
But you never know. So maybe this is the reopening of the Jordan Walker. So if he did get dropped in your league, you need to be looking out. Maybe just take the gamble and just go pick him up now just in case, because Walker will be good. But, yeah, Gorman's been a monster. To say the least.
Yeah. The next, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people here, so I don't know.
But yeah, the next group we have here, Oscar Colas.
I'm wearing my Cuba jersey. Just let everybody know I'm Cuban, and my family went to Cuba, and the only thing they gave me back was this jersey a couple years ago. So I wanted some Oscar Colas because I have an Oscar, not this one, this is Maleta, but I have an Oscar Colas jersey. And I wanted some of that because I thought this was going to be exciting, Jordan Walker-esque player. And then he decided to show me that the whole White Sox team is just awful. He was up there with them. I mean, he was just terrible. He needs some reps.
Started off hot, and then he's like, hey, come on, guys. And then he's like, oh, wait, is this how we're supposed to do it?
Exactly. Play,
like, absolute dog shit? Okay.
Right. Because
didn't they lose, like, 10 in a row or something? Or they were about to?
Probably. I can't remember. Tony's been terrible as a manager this year. Sorry.
You mean just this year?
It's not Tony's fault. It's all Tony's fault. He's had an incredibly long slump, like you said, right? And he's not playing much either. 332 OPS, that's on base plus slugging. If that's below 500, it's terrible. 300, and that's just ungodly bad. So I still believe in his upside. But unlike Walker, I don't expect Colas back up at least for a month, unless there's a rash of injuries. Eloy Jimenez, hello. But I don't expect Oscar Colas back anytime soon. So he's a safe drop for me right now. I'd keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
But he's definitely a safe drop.
Sorry, I gave the White Sox credit. It was actually 12 straight.
Oh.
Shockingly, the one game they the team they snapped the streak on, the Rays.
Huh?
Wow, like, that's right.
Yeah. That like right, it was like a 12-9 game. They came back from like seven down to win that damn game. I remember watching it, being like, "What the hell is happening right now?" Anyway, so a few other guys here, a couple of pitchers: AJ Brian Bello of Boston and Dre Jameson of Arizona. You know, Bello's. I feel like he's a fairly highly talented prospect for the Red Sox. It just can't quite figure it out in the pros. No. And Jameson, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of the immediate fill-in before Fat Stacks came up. And he was decent in a start, maybe two, but then he just started getting rocked. I was like, all right, you're out. Moving on. And then his teammate, Jake McCarthy, also got sent down.
That
was a bit of a shock, but again, not terribly shocking, as a former, you know, guy that I rostered.
Oh, so it's your fault. I mean, we know.
Yeah, I caught
now
him
we know. It's always your fault.
Hey, guess what? I had Jameson too.
I will say this.
Good start.
I will say this. I mean, like,
oh, sweet.
McCarthy, look, I was a fan of McCarthy coming into the season. I really was. You know, I didn't think he was going to, you know, I didn't expect power to be his thing, but hit for good average. If you're in OBP league, pretty good. You thought the steals were going to be there. You know, he sold 23 in 99 games last year. You know, he still hit 8 bombs in 99. So you expect maybe, you know, I don't know, 12, 13, 14. You're expecting, especially with the new rules, what, 30 to 35 bags maybe? Now that we know kind of how everybody's going crazy, but, you know, maybe before the season you're expecting, all right, you know, maybe ceiling 30, you know. Well, 99 games, fuck, maybe 40 actually now that I'm thinking about it. Like, that's what the projections were. Right. And, man, he couldn't get on base. It was awful. And the Diamondbacks, like, it's not like fantastic talent, but they do have a fairly deep outfield.
Yes.
You know, with Corbin Carroll, you know, they could bring up Alec Thomas, who is just kind of always just a dude. Like, he just always seems to be
especially
okay.
Best ball. Alec Thomas, best ball.
Lourdes Gurriel, you know, is there. Like,
sure.
Fine. You know, Pavin Smith can be there and play some outfield as well. Like, not like fantastic, but man, when you've got a guy who can only hit like .180 right now, right. You're gonna send him down and let him figure some things out if you got those options left, and that's exactly what Arizona did. So,
yeah, Dre Jameson though, it was really surprising to me because he was in that, you know, that fifth starter, you know, sweepstakes there between the three pitchers that they had, and he was throwing, averaging over 100 miles an hour on his pitches. The thing is, I expected Dre to become a closer or a bullpen piece if he could make it as a starting pitcher, but he was so bad that I was actually taking late round flyers on him just because, you know, if he was a closer or a starting pitcher, you know, obviously he's beneficial either way. Just terrible. And he definitely needs to go work on some things, but he has the potential to really be a great closer in the future. Like, you know, Matt Brash-esque. That he doesn't have a filthy slider, but he definitely has a lot of amazing speed, a lot of power pitching as well. But, you know, hasn't been good. And Jake McCarthy's a huge disappointment. Bello, on the other hand, you'd kind of mentioned him, you know, like you said, I was out on him after he just has yet to show any mastery of being able to, you know, go through that lineup a second or third time. Has yet to show kind of that he can do that.
Yeah, he started today though. So did he go down? I saw he started today.
Bello?
Or yeah, he's five innings, allowed two earned runs. What? Five strikeouts.
Two? Only two?
But it was four runs, so it must have been off an error.
Oh, there you go.
But anyway, so, I mean, that's not bad. But he has games like that, man. Then he'll come back the next game, and you're like, oh, thanks for the 10 earned runs. Jackass. Right. it's like the Happy Gilmore. Jackass.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and then he only had like three strikeouts, right? Like in the like, you know, the Brewers, he only had three strikeouts, which you're like, you're a power pitcher. What are you doing with only three strikeouts?
That's, he goes down to the minors and strikes out like 15 batters a game. And you're like, right. Okay, thanks, man. So I want to just lump these last guys in and Dap, let you lead the way here. Edward Julian, Minnesota, obviously was a hot topic there for a while. Yes. Big, you know, a lot of fab spent on him, and that did not work out very well. You know, had like two good games to start. Montero from Colorado, Ramos from San Francisco, and Brujan from Tampa Bay. You know, I'm going to take a wild guess and say a lot of people listening to this show probably don't know who Montero and Ramos are. Maybe Ramos. I know that name more than I know Montero.
Prospects.
Vidal Brujan, I do know for sure. But like, you know, what are we expecting from these guys for the rest of the year? Like, maybe just pick one and
well, yeah. Go. So I mean, look, Vidal Brujan was sorry. Just had to, you know, he's Taylor Wallace-esque, right? Great defense. Didn't expect much from the bat, but you know, suddenly
can we have a counter on how many times Dap's going to say Taylor Wallace on this show?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm so mad. I dropped him in so many dynasty leagues, Taylor Wallace. And this
I did too, man. We had, I had him in the league we share.
I'm just I'm bringing it up because I'm so mad at him right now.
We didn't keep him.
Yeah. So
now I'm smashing it. Like,
but Edward Julian is a name that you need to know. If you don't know about him, he was always going to be kind of the first call up. He's a bat first prospect. He's amazing with his bat. They didn't give him much leeway there because it's the Twins and they have a lot to call up there. I mean, they are stacked right now, but Julian's going to be up again. And Edward Julian is somebody you should definitely think. The one that was surprising to me is Montero, because when Montero came up, I mean, Colorado outfield, you're thinking bombs away, and maybe he had a hit.
It hasn't happened yet for that offense. I don't know if is it super cold in Colorado like it is out here right now? Because damn, dude, like their offense is ranked one of the worst in baseball right now, and you don't usually see that from a Colorado team because they just play at home and they just smash it. But they are horrendous. And like, I even looked at their like home road splits. It's like dead even. And you're like, no, they're just bad everywhere right now. Good job, Colorado.
So what you're saying, if I can understand this correctly, is that Colorado is as cold as the Yankees?
Segue. love it.
As hot as
the A's? Oh, sorry. Yes.
They're not, I set you up. I loved it.
Fingers going.
He tried.
It's not Taylor Walls-esque.
All right. So, yeah, segue here to the Yankees real quick here. So, big news this week. Aaron Judge put on the IL. I don't remember how long he's going to be out. Did they say?
I thought he was on the 10th, but maybe not.
I don't know. Anyway, so he's out. But, I mean, this offense is actually struggling, even with him in it recently. I'm looking at the WRC Plus rankings, just a gauge I like to use for just kind of lumping in a lot of offensive stats together. They are the 23rd ranked offense in baseball with a WRC Plus of 89. They are ahead of the White Sox, who we've already mentioned suck right now. The Nationals. Not good. The Reds, not good. The Indians, which I'm actually kind of surprised to see down there, although we mentioned how Jimenez not doing good. The Tigers, we know they're not good. Colorado, we just talked about them. And then the lowly Royals. Shockingly, Oakland's ahead of them.
I was going to give you credit for
that. Oakland's like right in the middle. They're 19-18. Not too bad.
So Judge is expected to possibly return May 8th when first eligible.
I was gonna say it didn't sound like it was super serious, but
IL.
I don't what's going on with this team right now. I mean, they are dealing with a bunch of injuries. I do know that. I think it's Stanton hurt too, or was he? I think Stanton's out too.
Stanton, I think that woke up hurt. Sense. I think he's
he sneezed. I don't know.
Yeah, he's been playing hurt for the last decade.
He sneezed and farted at the same time. Back wrong. He's still confused at what's going on.
I mean, you know, Volpe has not figured it out. You know, we talked just a couple shows ago where, like, when he got moved to the leadoff spot, he kind of got hot real quick. He's cooled back off. So that I'm just waiting for the day where he joins the demotions list because it's got to happen soon. I don't imagine the Yankees are going to have much patience for this. They can't. They were last in the division like a few days ago. I don't know if they still are, but it's not good. They are still last in the division.
You know, and then you have some of the other call-ups too, right? Oswaldo Cabrera, not Oswald Peraza, but Oswaldo Cabrera has been a fun interview, and everybody's like, oh, this guy's got such great, you know, but he's been terrible with the bat.
It's awful.
Yeah, I mean, and the other fun thing is, you know, if you look at runs scored, they're in the bottom, you know, 10, right? We're talking about the Yankees have scored 126 runs, and if you look at the next one down, it's Colorado, 125, and there's Oakland at 116. If you can't even score runs, I mean, forget the home runs and all that other fun stuff, you know, you can't even score runs. And you're in 23rd. This is a huge problem. And there's going to have to be a shakeup. They're going to have to make an acquisition. There's going to be something. I don't think this is just cold, you know, batters. No, I think there's a deeper problem here.
When you look at their lineup, I'm looking at it right now. And of course it doesn't have Judge or Stanton in it. And that, I mean, sure, massive difference there when you add them in it. But I mean, you look at it from top to bottom, Volpe, Gleyber Torres, Rizzo, LeMahieu. Yeah, you're going to slide Judge and Stanton in there. So fine. Go Volpe, go Judge, go Stanton, Torres, Rizzo, whatever, LeMahieu. So maybe a solid top five, although I'm not sold on Volpe yet. Man, after that, Willie Calhoun, Harrison Bader, Jake Bowers, Jose Trevino, then our aforementioned Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, it just doesn't feel like a Yankee lineup right now. And it's showing because, I mean, Judge and Stanton literally just got hurt. So, like, this isn't – well, Stanton's been out for a couple of weeks. But, like
– you know, yeah, I mean, Stanton's – he was seen yogging, I believe, recently. So –
wait, did you say yogging?
Yes, yogging. It's a soft J.
All right, Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, so but I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, I mean, Willie Calhoun, I mean, he was big back when he was with the Rangers as a top prospect, but he never, you know, never came out. Jake Bowers, who's a failed prospect for the Cleveland Indians, is playing way too much right now because he's in the lineup once. He's playing way too much. You know, you have all, you know, the Rizzos of the world and things of that, you know, you're expecting them to play and have those kind of those big starting pitching, and they're not having that. Even Cole's getting kind of roughed around sometimes. It's a mess. But the thing is, and this is the part that I hate, because I hate the Yankees because I'm an Oakland A's fan and they're everything evil in this world, but they're going to figure it out or they're going to throw money at it. It's too early. And this is one of those things, but I expect a huge roster turnover. I expect a lot of changes. If you're holding on to any of these fringe guys, Oswaldo Cabrera, things of that nature, expect them to be, you know, demoted quickly. So that is not somebody you want to hold. I know Oswaldo was considered like a sleeper candidate. Peraza, I don't think has much longer of a leash in Volpe. Volpe probably does. But again, you know, if they're not going to contribute, they have no problems demoting these guys and calling somebody else up. It is.
You know, we talked about it on a couple weeks ago, right? We talked about Volpe going into the top spot. Might have even been the week before that, though, where we talked about how if he can't figure it out, they're going to call up Peraza and just, like, play him. Well, they did call up Peraza, and they're still playing Volpe. Like,
right.
Oh, sure. Like, I don't get it, but you're doing it, guys.
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, once you start demoting, you know, rookie, you know, you start having a much bigger thing, right? Not only is he not hitting, but now he's got to think about the fact he's being demoted and moving those things. So I think they're trying not to play with his head too much and trying to show, like, you know, we support you, you know, go for it. But yeah, if he doesn't start showing, you know, thank you for trusting me, a type of you know, performances, yeah, I'm concerned about his.
But after a while, like, they gotta, something's off. Go down, go figure it out,
right.
Come back and just be the better player. That's what I say. You know, after a while, like, it's a business. You got to perform. So, that, let's finish off here with quick. Save holds candidates
come on,
to consider, man. If you are in some save holds leagues.
Look,
line notes, but yeah, you can read them, I guess.
Oh, are they? So I assumed they
were. I always assume AJ does nothing.
Dab is the big save holds guy.
That is pretty true. The one guy I was going to highlight here, and I'm going to just call it one name, and I'll let AJ call the rest of his notes. The one person I really want to call out here is Mark Leiter Jr., you know, son of the famous Leiter, New York Mets, you know, pitcher.
Ow.
Last year, he, you know, was giving a lot of holds, but his overall stats were terrible. I thought for sure he wasn't going to be kind of relied upon. And in spring training, he was showing some life. But right now, he has 7 holds, and he has a fantastic whip and an ERA under 1.5. For that, I mean, definitely, and it's in Chicago, where they don't really have a lot going on. They're still kind of trying to figure out where all the pieces fit. Leiter definitely has a hold on, you know, 7th, 8th inning, and he might even be pushing his way up to higher leverage situations. They definitely trust him. They're putting him in, you know, anytime there's trouble. So I definitely would go out and grab Leiter wherever you can. Just another quick thing here. You want any part of that Orioles bullpen. You know, the Orioles have...
So what? Wait, but...
Yep, I'm sorry. I just wanted to quickly.
Did I hear that wrong? Felix Bautista is like the greatest closer in the world. What?
Yeah, I know. I
you were trying to talk me off of him so bad. Sorry.
I deserve that. I deserve that. But look, man, what I didn't expect. I mean, look, Batista's blown a save or two. I think I text you on those, but that's also like me saying, like, look, your girlfriend has a zit, like, you know, it's gonna go away. Great. You know, you want any, if you're in a holds and saves league, you better have one of the 6th, 7th, or 8th options, 8th inning options, in the Orioles bullpen. They are lights out, and there's a great article in The Athletic where they call it How the Orioles Put Together a Bullpen of Bullies. I think it's phenomenal. So yeah, I've picked up almost all the Royals. I mean, all the Orioles in my leagues. And again,
I sure hope you're not picking up the Royals. That's not good managing. Maybe
right.
Barlow, really.
So Mike Bauman, obviously Batista, and then of course you got Brian Baker. But my personal favorite, you know, is Cano.
The bully.
So
phenomenal.
Good. I don't think he's given up a run yet. I think he's 11 innings, no runs, and he hasn't given up a walk, which is exactly what you want from, you know, a late innings holds guy, right? The walks are the key. You don't want a heart attack. You want a guy to go out there and just strike him out, throw strikes. Cano is amazing. If you are in a holds league, grab you some Cano. The non-PED.
13 Cano. Strikeouts, no runs. I'm trying to find his walks. Where the hell is his walks on here? No walks.
Has he given up a hit? Because last time I checked, he hadn't given up even a hit yet.
One hit.
No. He sucks. Drop him.
Oh, man. It's game over.
Everything I just said, cut that guy. He is garbage. He is the PED Cano.
Yes. And Joe.
Smellier.
I have to apologize. You're right. Batista's awesome. Even the failed save. He's awesome. He's
the
much
failed
better.
Saves early on, like, they weren't his fault, which was funny. They were all of the errors, and then he just got saddled with the earned runs, and you were like, or the blown saves, and you were like, damn it. Like the one dude who like dropped the ball in the outfield.
Doesn't matter. It was because the way Batista pitches. That's why he dropped it. Yeah,
it's Batista. That outfielder. He looked at Bautista pitch and he was like,
"Yeah, he was like, oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's terrible."
I lost it. Oh.
K per 9 rate of 16. Eat it. All right, AJ.
Not very good.
Let's finish it up.
Anyway, so just kicking back on Leiter, and it's actually kind of funny because as I was writing these out, I was like, wow, all of these guys have the exact same freaking whip over the last like 2 weeks or so. They've given up two hits and one walk. So 0.644 whip for Carlos Estevez in LA. The same whip for Mr. Leiter, who we just talked about. And also the same for Mr. Hunter Harvey, former Orioles bullpen guy, now just down the road in Washington. So Estevez is probably not likely someone you're going to get. And this is going off of Fantrax ownership, which is...
He's the closer now. Right? Because Quesadilla is out for the season. Yeah, so.
Exactly. Wait, what's that? Who's out?
Quesadilla?
There's a guy named Quesadilla?
No,
it's Quesada, but Quesadilla sounds way better.
Okay, yes. So... Yeah, and I was looking at that.
I was expecting to go into his mouth.
It's not Taco Tuesday. It's Quesadilla Thursday, apparently. Anyway, Estevez is, yeah, definitely gone up in ownership. What? Estevez?
No. I was upset.
We're still just laughing Tuesday. About your you didn't
Taco
get it,
Tuesday. Yes.
Got it.
The Utes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes. But he is the guy that I was looking at for one of my other leagues because he actually is not owned in that league. And I was like,
Oh, the one you play against your parents. Yeah.
Go get that. Yeah.
It's kids that are like five.
Just a bunch of ghost players that I made up accounts for, my burner accounts.
I'm awesome. I win all the time, guys. I win no idea.
Year. When I lose to my burner account, it's like, fucking really? This guy's an asshole. Anyway, so moving on to Mr. Matt Moore, and I don't think I'd ever picture myself writing an article, you know, promoting this guy. But he's got 15 and a third innings on the season, a 1.17 ERA, under one whip at 7.83, 17 Ks and 8 holds to go along with a 1-1 record. He's only 32% owned in Fantrax. You already talked about Leiter Jr.
Matt Moore is following that. You know, there's always every year there's one or two starting pitchers or old starting pitchers that reinvent themselves in the bullpen. Matt Moore is definitely that guy. Tampa Bay, then Texas, and now here. But I love what I'm seeing there as well. But
yeah,
and look, we've always thought for years if the Angels can just win some damn games, the bullpen would be good. Even the, you know, like
right,
and they are. They're finally figuring it out.
They're the epitome of the bullpen that you want to go after because you know they're going to be in close games. They don't win a lot as it is, but when they do, it's like
18 and 14.
We're not
solid.
Blowing people out. So come on in, boys.
By the way, can I just say before we close out here, how upside down this whole league is? The Pirates, the Orioles, the Rays. Yeah. They're like three of the top four teams in baseball.
The Rays are always kind of up there.
But not this good.
No. The Rays are winning. Yeah, but the Rays are winning. They're so Tyler Wells-esque right now, right? Wells-esque on how they're doing it. I mean, they're bashing the ball, right? I mean, you know, this is how the Orioles were supposed to be winning, but you know, they got this slugger in Tyler Wells that is just helping them win. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, no, seriously.
You know what's funny? The Orioles also have a Taylor Wells, I believe, or Tyler Wells.
Taylor, you're right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not a Quesadilla though. It's not.
It's a Wells Walls. It's an Oasis song, right? Wells of Walls, Wonder Walls.
Wells. Yes, yes, yes.
So Hunter Harvey, Walls. Double H, not Triple H, but a Double H. Mr. Hunter Harvey is basically doing things that we expected to see him do in Baltimore. His season, he's got 13.2 innings, 1.98 ERA, just under one whip. 16 Ks, 7 holds, 1 win, which he just got, I believe, 2 nights ago. But since April 15th, he's got 6 innings, no earned runs. Again, that magic number of 0.644 whip. nine Ks and three holds and the win. So he's only owned in about 18% of leagues in Fantrax. Again, Fantrax is the premier site for Dynasty and all your fantasy baseball needs. So because of that, the ownership is a bit skewed possibly. But that's because their player pool is huge. So
yeah, Harvey's 1% rostered in on Fantasy Pros, and they do a consensus between Yahoo and ESPN. I'm looking at Leiter. He is 7% rostered. Matt Moore, 6. And Estevez, I imagine to be a lot higher at 45, right. But still not as high as it should be, in my opinion.
Still below 50.
That's crazy he's not rostered much more.
Yeah.
What are y'all doing out there? Go pick him up.
Seven saves already.
Because that's a saves league. You know those are saves only leagues too. Like, what are y'all doing? Go get him. Who's sleeping out there? Like, go. Yeah.
Yeah, AJ has his leagues that he just has himself in there. So go pick him up, AJ.
I already did. Wait, no, that was a burner. I'm screwed. I missed him.
I don't even know what to do. All right, we're going to close it out. Want to thank you all for tuning in. We will be back.
Okay, hold on. Last thing. Dap. If you had to pick three toppings for your quesadilla, which positions that Taylor Walls is eligible to play in would you pick as your three toppings? And go.
Second base, shortstop, third base. Is that you said positions? So
position.
It was a confusing question to just make you talk about him again. You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Say,
he's only eligible at three positions. So congratulations, you got him all. tired, AJ.
My highbrow comedy is just done. Wasted on the show. Wasted.
Something like that. Cano had a win tonight, and Duran, one of our big pickups from last week on our free agent. You know, please check out our our Fab pickups that drops on Saturday. You know, we had Duran highlighted as well, and he has two stolen bases tonight, and he's been on fire.
And if you're in our Discord, we have been talking about him a lot.
Yes.
Just to let you know.
Helping people pick him up because they're like, who do I drop? And I'm like, oh, well, let's hear your thing. And like, oh, we're like that guy.
For sure. Yeah. there's a couple dudes in like 10 team leagues, and I'm like, shit. I don't know, man. Yeah, like, it's so hard.
Okay. That one guy who showed up, gave his pitching, and I was like, how do you have all those pitchers? Don't drop any of them ever.
Yeah. Well, the one that super confused me was the one who sent his hitters out, and he was like, who do I drop out of my hitters? And I'm like, I don't know, man. You need to pick up a pitcher. Is there a pitcher you can drop? And then he sent his pitchers, and he's got two empty pitcher spots. And I was like, why do you have two empty pitcher spots? What? You need to explain this to me, because there's got to be a reason for it. I'm like, right. Do you have like a really small start limit? He goes, yeah, we can only start five pitchers a week. And I'm like, what in the hell? I've never heard that in my life. But sure. So you're not dropping a pitcher. Because he didn't want to start Lizardo this week, which was a smart move. Right. So that's his fifth starter, usually.
He almost made my cut list, but...
Yeah. Nah, so not yet.
He wasn't drafted.
But anyway. So
just a quick note to all our viewers and people that write to us on Discords or emails. Please let us know what your league makeup is.
That helps a lot.
Because, for the other gentleman that, had asked me those questions, like, I don't know, are you doing, do you have... innings pitched? Do you have quality starts? Do you have wins? Like, what do you have? So if you just put that in there in the question, we can answer your question so much faster.
And for points leagues, you don't have to give me every point category, but tell me like what's kind of favored. Like, is it power heavy? Are steals like worth a lot? Like, it does. The more information you can give us, the better it's going to help us answer your question. I mean, like just today, somebody was asking, like, should I pick up or trade, it was trade Keller or Kirby for Jorge Mateo.
Right.
And I was like, I mean, Mateo's killing it right now. I get it. But like, you're in a points league. Like, I don't trust the power. And normally, in a points league, steals are not super valuable. So unless you're in a super like a super steals valuable league,
right,
then I say no, because points leagues generally kind of favor pitching because of the, especially if it's like a weekly league, they give you those like massive boosts. Ended up being that was the right answer, I think, you know, because it was a 1 point per steal league. Right. Had it been like, I've seen some leagues where it's like 5 points per steal, but you know, all the information helps. But anyway, that being said, we do need to close out. I want to thank you all for listening. Please become a member. Please join our Discord. We love talking to you, and we will see you all next week.